WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ukraine's President Zelensky tells the National Defense University that continued U.S. aid is a must to fight Russian forces and President Vladimir Putin.
His weapon against you right now is propaganda and disinformation, but if he sees a chance, he'll go further.
Qatar is still trying to play middleman in the Gaza war. The BBC's Yolanda Nell.
Qatar says it is continuing its efforts to try to get a truce, to try to get a full ceasefire. But it says that Israel's relentless bombardment of Gaza means that it's narrowing the window for success.
At the UN climate summit, President Sultan Al-Jaber says a consensus on fossil fuels has been challenging.
The time for discussion is coming to an end. And there is no time for hesitation. The time to decide is now.
At least two Arab countries call fossil fuel reduction a deal breaker. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
Civic Media News, here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says the deal the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents rejected Saturday was his best and final offer. That deal would have unlocked $32 million for state universities in exchange for a freeze on diversity positions. Governor Evers is also suing to unfreeze the pay raises. He spoke with WISN-TV's Upfront.
I think these are distractions, and frankly, I don't like them because it's just a small number of people making decisions that have already been made.
One of the regents who voted against the deal says it would have sold out minority students for millions of dollars. There's a new effort to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin. Senator Andre Jacques' bill would limit interest rates on payday loans. A study 2 years ago found interest on payday loans in Wisconsin averaged 516%. I'm Terry Bell. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire Chamber of Commerce and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation are teaming up to host a civics competition for area middle schoolers. Students from grades 6 to 8 are invited to participate in the contest and will have a chance to win recognition, prizes, and finalists will receive an invitation to compete in the inaugural National Civics Bee in fall of 2024. The local competition will be held on April 13, 2024, and students interested in participating must submit their essays by January 9, 2024. The City of Eau Claire and the Town of Washington have come to a settlement agreement regarding land annexed by Eau Claire off of Deerfield Road. The land had been twice annexed by the City of Eau Claire for a housing development called Orchard Hills, but both times the Town of Washington filed a lawsuit to reverse the decision. The settlement would dismiss the second lawsuit if given the green light by the City Council, and the developers will pay the Town of Washington $100,000. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Packers on Monday Night Football. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers and Giants in prime time kickoff at 7:20. Defensive back Jair Alexander has missed the past four games with a shoulder injury he suffered against the Rams and was asked, would he play against the Giants?
You know, I'm the type of person I always want to put my best foot forward, you know. So I feel like if I can't put my best foot forward, then it's just tough to even be out there, you know.
Yesterday, before they got on the plane, the Packers ruled Alexander out for tonight's game. Women's college basketball. The Badgers had an early lead but lost 87-65 to number 3 ranked Iowa, and the Hawkeyes star player Caitlin Clark. What made the day special was attendance. Over 14,000 fans sold out at the Kohl Center. Iowa's head coach Lisa Bluter.
Yeah, the growth of our game, I've been a part of it really almost since the beginning, and to see where it's come, it's so exciting because, you know, this was something that you only dreamed of, and now it's happening on a regular basis. I just love the attention that women's basketball is getting right now because it deserves it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Clouds move out, mostly sunny by this afternoon. We'll see a high near 33. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 21. Winds will gust over 25 miles per hour at times. For Tuesday, sunshine, a high near 28, 33, and sun for Wednesday. That's weather from Severe Studios.
It's 24 right now.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live on Civic Media statewide. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of blockbuster stories over the weekend, but the biggest blockbuster to me was the announcement. It was originally broken on CNN, and then it appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, that Kenneth Chesbrough is cooperating in the Wisconsin Department of Justice probe against the fake electors. And I went, probe? What probe? We've been talking for a long time that we are the only state, apparently, other than Pennsylvania, and that was a different circumstance, where the Justice Department in the state is not investigating the fake electors. But it turns out, if this reporting is to be believed, that Josh Call's office is investigating the fake electors. I'm very happy about that. Very, very happy about that. I mean, you can argue, well, it's a little late and all this. Better late than never. Better late than never. And one of the things that I think helped this was that settlement, we talked about that, a couple of days ago, the settlement of the civil case, these people admitted that they had done this, and that it was wrong. They admitted it. Ken Chesbrough, he's originally from Wisconsin. Ken Chesbrough is the guy who is one of the chief architects, along with John Eastman, of the theory of how Trump would stay in office and overturn the election. The theory, and I'll boil it down real quick, was something like this. All 50 states certified their electors. Their governors and secretaries of state signed off, and many of them were Republican governors. Many of them were Republican secretaries of state, but they all signed off. But there is a provision that they would then be presented to the vice president, who would receive them. That's a ministerial function. In other words, that's just a no-brainer function. That's not a policy function. If the vice president had the flu, or were unconscious, God forbid, injured in a car accident, something of that nature, you have somebody else do it. It's a question of ceremonially presenting them to the Senate, ceremonially presenting them to the full Congress. And Pence was available. Some Secret Service agents who were in on it tried to kidnap him. Said, remember, the insurrection was the cover. All that was the cover. Trump knew it, to cause a disturbance. And then they said, listen, Mr. Vice President, get in the car here. We're going to, for your safety, they're going to whisk him away. And then there would have been doubt who was going to receive it. They wouldn't have been received that day. The Republicans would have said, well, That's therefore it's in the House of Representatives. Under that provision in the Constitution, each state gets one vote. California gets one vote, even though it might have 56 congressmen. Wyoming gets one vote, even though it has one congressman. And more than half of the states have Republican congressional delegations. Not because they have a lot of congressmen, but Wyoming has a congressional delegation that's Republican simply because it only has one congressman and two senators, and they're both Republicans. All three of them are Republicans. That was the deal on Chesbrough. And Chesbrough pled guilty to a felony in Georgia. Chesbrough pled guilty. What he did is he got no jail time. But he agreed to cooperate. He agreed to cooperate with Jack Smith. He agreed to cooperate now in Nevada. And now he's cooperating in Wisconsin. I was glad to hear it. It sounds to me as if Josh Call has opened an investigation. And what's made a lot easier for him, is that in that settlement agreement, the fake electors all agreed that what they had done was wrong and trying to overturn the election. That the document in the civil settlement, the fake electors stated that the document, the fake elector document, was part of an attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 election results. Before that, what they had said is that it was simply done to maintain all legal avenues. Now, let me tell you something. That in itself is a fraudulent statement. They just contradicted it. But more importantly, that's not a defense, and this investigation and prosecution should have occurred a year ago. And why do I say that? Because you've all heard the phrase, ignorance of the law is no excuse. So when they go, well, it's to maintain all legal avenues, you had no legal avenues. All of the courts that looked at it, including the U.S. Supreme Court, said that there was no fraud. Certainly not fraud that would overturn anything. There are occasional Republican voters who voted twice because they had houses in the city and houses in Lake Country and that kind of thing. But it was a handful of cases, nits and lice, and it did not impact the overall vote. Now, the Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, has gotten on the bandwagon, and she has stated publicly that at least Spindell was a fake elector. He's also on the Wisconsin Election Commission. And she correctly pointed out that if you have a guy who now has signed a document saying that it was part of a fake elector attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 election results, he can't be on the Wisconsin Election Commission. That's like putting an arsonist in the fire department. You cannot do it. I think this is a little late, and in the scheme of things, they should all be criminally prosecuted. And I assume that that's what Josh Call is looking at. So he has that. Now, the other interesting thing will be, what will Josh Call do about Ron Johnson and Fitzgerald and Voss? They were part of the conspiracy. And why do I say that? They were part of the conspiracy because Ron Johnson had the fake electors from Wisconsin and Michigan in his possession and had his chief of staff try to palm him off on Pence's chief of staff. Pence had chickened out by that point. He's no great moralist. He chickened out. He was thinking to go along. He said, oh, my Marine son told me not to do it. Yeah, well, I think what he realized is that if he pulled something like that, tried to pull that off in the United States, he would be in very deep trouble. So he didn't use the fake electors, but Ron Johnson tried to palm off on him. Fitzgerald and Voss arranged for the conference room and arranged for it to be sneaky and secret, not tell the press, not listed on a marquee, not tell anybody. You know, I can't believe these guys. I mean, they've been in politics a long time. You think stuff like that stays sneaky and secret ever? Are you kidding me? You don't think staffers know? You don't think janitors know what's going on? So now the question becomes, how long will this investigation take? Right now, he has Chesbro talking to him. Josh called this, apparently, which is great. He has the document from the settlement. That's great. But now, he should convene a grand jury or a John Doe and subpoena the 10 fake electors and Ron Johnson and Fitzgerald and Voss and have them come in. You know, the congressmen and the senators who were subpoenaed in D.C. blew it off. And they didn't get in trouble because it wasn't really a subpoena. They were asked, they were tickled under the chin with a turkey feather and say, would you please come in and talk to us, blah, blah, blah. A subpoena from the Attorney General of Wisconsin to them, they can't blow that off. They have to move to quash it. Or they have to move for a protective order to limit things or whatever they want to do. But ultimately, this court's going to tell them to testify. And they got to testify under oath. They can take the Fifth Amendment. You know, what does Ron Johnson do? I know what he did. Remember, the one reporter, he said, wait a minute, on the phone. She said, you're not on the phone. I can see the screen. He said, well, it was only for a few seconds. We might kill a guy. Takes less than a few seconds to pull the trigger. What do you mean a few seconds? What he meant was he told his aide, give Pence these fake electors. And the guy said, yes, sir. And that took 3 seconds. Okay. Give me a break. Give me a break. Now the question is Call going to go against Johnson, Fitzgerald, and Voss? It would be an epic thing to do. It would be the correct thing to do. It would be a courageous thing to do. And it would be an historical thing to do. It should be done. And why do I say that? Fannie Willis isn't even the attorney general in Georgia, and she has indicted, criminally charged Trump himself, Giuliani, and Mark Meadows in Georgia. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to the hierarchy of the big kahunas, I would say that Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and Mark Meadows are higher up on the totem pole than Ron Johnson, Scott Fitzgerald, and Robin Voss. There's plenty of cover here, plenty of cover. But I'm glad to see that Chesbro is cooperating. And frankly, with that settlement document, well, they flat out say, right in this settlement document, this document was, with my signature on it, by the way, that was their signature, was used as part of an attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 election results. I mean, what more do you want? As criminal defendants, if Josh Call charges them, they don't have to take the stand. They can't be subpoenaed in a criminal case to take the stand. They can take the Fifth Amendment. They do not have to testify. At the end of Josh Call's case, he'll put on Chesbro, who will say that he met with some of these people and that he instructed them to keep it secret. And they've admitted that it was part of an attempt to improperly overturn the election. The judge will then look at counsel, defense counsel, say, counsel, do you have any witnesses? What is he going to do? What's whoever representing them going to do? Was he going to put on an expert witness to say that they, by saying that, didn't necessarily mean it was criminal culpability? Give me a break. Give me a break. We did not fall off the turnip truck on the way into town here, okay? None of them will testify. And when they don't testify, I'll tell you what, I know what that jury's going to do. I'll tell you what, very exciting. Coming up, the Texas Supreme Court stops a woman whose life is in danger from having an abortion. I can't believe this.
Backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Okay.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll tell you, an unbelievable decision in Texas, and this really, really, really highlights what the six tarantulas did on the Supreme Court in overturning Roe v. Wade. And just so we're clear, it was actually five of the tarantulas. And you may say, what? Yeah, it was the Mississippi case, Dobbs versus Mississippi. Six of the tarantulas upheld the 15-week limit of the Mississippi statute. But when it came time to overturning Roe v. Wade, which was not even implicated in this, they didn't have to do it. Roberts backed out. It was 5-4. It was five of the tarantulas. However, there is a doctrine, a core doctrine. If you go to law school and you take constitutional law, one of the first things you learn is, if you can decide a case without deciding a constitutional issue, do it. A constitutional issue is a last resort. That is law 101 on constitutional law. In other words, if you can decided under the state constitution, under a statute, under common law. What's common law? Common law is a whole series of court decisions going back hundreds of years. And sometimes I've seen briefs that cite court decisions from English courts 400 years ago. And that's, of course, coming less and less in favor. But it can be common law, it can be statutory law, it can be the state constitution. At all costs, stay away from the constitutional issue if you can. And these clowns, the five tarantulas, after they've already, in that decision, said that Mississippi's 15-week ban was okay, they could have stopped. That was the only issue in front of them. That was the only fair issue in front of them. And what the tarantulas did is say, well, what the hell? We'll knock off Roe v. Wade. 50 years of stuff. Unbelievable. Anyway, this poor woman, Texas, I think she's 31 years old. She's married. She has two kids. She's carrying a baby that is not going to survive. It will very likely will die before she gives birth. And if it doesn't, it'll die right afterwards. And more to the point, it will only make her sterile, but it could kill her. Now, Texas is so benighted. Think about this. What, are you supposed to have 3,000 lawsuits every year when a woman's life is in danger? You're supposed to have them get 3,000 lawyers, 5,000 lawyers, 10,000 lawyers? This decision is a matter of privacy, and it's a matter of a woman's privacy, and it's also a matter of her getting the best advice she can from a physician. There's no physician and no woman who seeks this out or wants this. This is a terrible thing. This is a terrible thing. However, at some point, the decision should be made by the woman, and she gets good advice from her physician, and the state shouldn't be involved in it. In this case, the judge who looked at it immediately said, yeah, you can absolutely go ahead. Granted a relief. This guy Paxton, the attorney general down there, he is a really bad guy. You may remember from some prior discussions. He's under criminal indictment down there for fraud and bribery. And because it's the Texas state system and they've been protecting him, this is going back 5 years. 5 years, and he keeps getting delays. He's the guy who then said, and this is even before he appealed, he said, if a doctor performs that abortion, I will criminally prosecute him. That is That is an unconstitutional threat. If a court says, for instance, this is the law, and you prosecute somebody, you threaten to deter them from exercising their rights under that law because you're the attorney general, what that does is it chills the desire of any OBGYN to provide that care. Why? Because the doctor could hire a lawyer, and with all the fees and the appeals, it could be 50 or 100 grand. He could do that, or she could do that. Insurance company won't pay for it. They will very likely lose, maybe, in the Texas Supreme Court, probably win, even among the tarantulas. But there is another rule of law that most people don't realize, even some lawyers, and that is, if a judge enters an injunction, even if it's turns out to be the wrong injunction, even if it's crazy on its face, disobeying it is a separate offense, even if it's irrational and even if it's overturned. And what that implicates is here, the Texas Supreme Court stopped the woman from having an abortion. That is so clearly unconstitutional. She has a right to privacy under the Ninth Amendment. She has a right to privacy under the Ninth Amendment, just like she has a right to buy birth control pills. The difference between our democracy and authoritarian countries, communist countries, jihadist countries, all these countries, is that you have a right to privacy. You have a right to privacy. But except in Texas, where they have the snitch bounty. So we'll see what happens. The Texas Supreme Court, I like to see them arrested, quite frankly. And that's an overstatement. I understand that. But that was not in good faith. That was not in good faith that they tell this woman, and then we have to wait and see. What do you mean you wait and see? There's medical issues here. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Boy, great subjects today, Matt. Good show. Yeah, they're anti-women. All women need to get the heck out of Texas, and women need to band together to get these dangerous people out. I mean, there's zero respect for women's health and their lives, and it's showing right up. And, we should put a big sign with all kinds of lights on it. Don't go to Texas, ladies, and don't go to a lot of the states. This is horrible. These are men making these decisions and some bad women, I'm sorry to say, but God dang it. Matt, I just can't believe it. It's like I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. And then, to see, Donald Trump and these people that are still kissing his feet, and then, people being concerned about maybe not voting for Joe Biden. Are they goofy? I hope people are waking up here because these people are dangerous and they don't care about anybody, especially women, but they don't care about anybody. Thank you very much, Matt, for this subject, those poor women. I say last prayers for them. Bye-bye.
Right. Thanks a lot. Yeah, she's 31 years old. She has two kids. She'd like to have more, apparently. And what right to privacy is she? You at least have the right to the privacy of saving your own life, I would think. The right to privacy of saving your own life. I mean, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life comes first. It's your life. She makes that decision. Here she has medical testimony to back it up. I mean, what happens if she's on an operating table and she's going to die? Is the doctor supposed to get the hospital lawyer or at his own expense ask a judge if it's okay to provide care? I mean, seriously, you can get sepsis. You can die. And if she does die, how many other people down in Texas are expected to go, okay, well, I'll wait till I get the injunction lifted? That's absolutely, absolutely disgusting. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and the Regents reject the deal with Voss.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he'll veto any attempt to do away with the State Elections Commission. He tells Upfront on WISN-TV he would never agree to a Republican bill to shift the powers of the agency to the Secretary of State. Evers says the Wisconsin Elections Commission does a good job and has a good leader. Many Republicans have been unhappy with the Elections Commission since Donald Trump lost the 2020 presidential election. They're calling it the largest pro-Palestine march in the history of Wisconsin. Hundreds of people from around the state came to the Capitol Square in Madison Saturday afternoon. They advocated for a ceasefire and to let Palestinians know they have support around the world. The Wisconsin Coalition for Justice in Palestine put on the event, representing more than 50 organizations. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A man has been arrested in connection to a rollover crash after leaving the scene of the accident. According to the Trumbull County Sheriff's Office, Fernando Mendez Gomez was arrested and accused of operating while intoxicated, bail jumping, and operating without a driver's license. The crash occurred on Saturday just before midnight. Four other people were in the car when it rolled over, and one was injured but treated on scene by Arcadia Ambulance. Police cited alcohol speed and icy roads as contributing factors. Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski has called for Republican Bob Spindle to lose his seat on the Wisconsin Elections Commission for falsely signing certificates in 2020 that former President Donald Trump won in Wisconsin. Spindle and the other nine fake electors conceded that President Joe Biden won in Wisconsin in a legal settlement last week and agreed not to serve as electors in 2024 or any other Donald Trump-involved election. Secretary of State Godlewski called Spindle clearly not fit for the position.
And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Packers on Monday Night Football. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers and Giants in prime time kick off at 7:20. Defensive back Jaire Alexander has missed the past four games with a shoulder injury he suffered against the Rams and was asked, would he play against the Giants?
You know, I'm the type of person I always want to put my best foot forward, you know. So I feel like if I can't put my best foot forward, then it's just tough to even be out there, you know.
Yesterday, before they got on the plane, the Packers ruled Alexander out for tonight's game. Women's college basketball. The Badgers had an early lead but lost 87-65 to number 3 ranked Iowa. And the Hawkeyes star player Caitlin Clark, what made the day special was attendance. Over 14,000 fans sold out at the Kohl Center. Iowa's head coach Lisa Bluter.
Yeah, the growth of our game, I've been a part of it really almost since the beginning, and to see where it's come, it's so exciting because, you know, this was something that you only dreamed of, and now it's happening on a regular basis. I just love the attention that women's basketball is getting right now because it deserves it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Clouds move out mostly sunny by this afternoon. We'll see a high near 33. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 21. Winds will gust over 25 miles per hour at times. For Tuesday, sunshine, a high near 28. 33 and sun for Wednesday. That's weather from Severe Studios.
It's 24 right now.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap, 1.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 5:40 a.m. This is The Shaw.
WAU.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Oh, good afternoon. Good show, as Jeannie says. You always have a good show. My first question is, Ron Johnson is up to his neck in the fake electors, and he probably should be thrown out of the Senate for what he did. And if he does, if it gets that far, does Tony get to appoint somebody, or is there a special election? And my second question you're about to get to, I don't understand the regions turning down that deal. I know it wasn't a great deal, but it seems to me you're hurting the working person at the UW more than Voss. And for Voss saying he wouldn't do anything after this, that's also nuts. So that's my two things today. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, excellent questions, Paul. Let's take them in order. The first one is no, Evers does not get to appoint someone. Some states, that's what happens. They appoint them for a limited period of time. Sometimes it's till the next election. Sometimes it's for a short period of time. What happens in Wisconsin is if there's a vacancy, if, for instance, Josh Call criminally charges Ron Johnson, Ron Johnson is convicted and has to go to prison, believe it or not, he could theoretically still stay in the Senate. You wonder, though, at what point the Senate, the Republicans would throw him out, or the Democrats would bring a resolution to throw him out. But the problem is, you know, you have Bob Menendez in New Jersey. He has been charged, and he has been charged with taking money to represent Egypt, including gold bars, and he's not being thrown out. Now, it takes, first of all, a resolution. It doesn't happen automatically. Secondly, a lot of people are saying in the Senate, including Republicans, well, let's see if he's convicted, but he's not going to be convicted before the election next fall. And he said he's not running again. To throw someone out, it takes 67 votes in the Senate, or it takes 2/3 votes in the House if it's a congressman, like if it were going to be somebody like Fitzgerald. Getting 2/3 of any chamber to do something is tough. Because it means you have to get a lot of votes from their own caucus. And so I would suspect that if Ron Johnson were prosecuted, he would not leave the Senate. And he, frankly, there's no way they get 67 votes, because I don't think any Republicans would vote for it, because nobody's done this about Menendez. Now, number two, then what happens? You know, he's in for 5 more years. Somehow a lot of this stuff didn't get discussed in the campaign, which is terrible, because it's a very close campaign. And I think if the people that were running it, the consultants and all that, had thought about it at all, they would have realized that what he'd done with fake electors and his attacks on democracy and his attacks on the FBI and the CIA and pro-Trump just hit that straight on. That wasn't done. That was not done. So he's in for 5 more years. Well, these things can drag out with appeals and all that. But if at some point he is tossed out, and I think if he were convicted at some point and went to prison, I think he would be thrown out. Then what happens is Tony Evers schedules an election. And probably to save money, it would be around another election, spring election or a August primary or November election. But that's what he would do. Now, as far as the regents rejecting the deal, and that is the subject of what I want to talk about right now. So I'm going to roll it all into one, Paul, in response to your question. The deal that the UW system struck with Voss had to be approved by the regents, because the fact is that, yes, we have a president Rothman of the system and we have chancellors and all that, but ultimately, that's a policy decision by the regents. And they debated it very hotly. And by a vote of 9-8, they turned it down. So 8 regents wanted it, said they go along with it. 9 did not. And, you know, Dana Wachs put out a statement, I thought it was a good statement, where he said, you know, we're not, you know, going to be railroaded on this. And there's a deeper issue, in my view, a deeper issue. who runs a university system? It has got to be regents and professors and administrators. This is Wisconsin. This is an honest state with a great educational system. The legislature has an important role. One role, of course, is providing money for the UW system. The other one is they get to approve the regents. So the next time there's a vacancy and a governor that they don't like, even though they're gerrymandered, and I don't think they're a valid legislature, but if they don't like a regent, they can refuse to endorse that regent. And so that is their proper role. But once there are regents that are endorsed, that are approved, that are confirmed, then it should be up to the regents. And for Voss to shoot his mouth off and say, well, that's it, and so bad, no raises, no engineering building, consider what the regents did, what they turned down. And frankly, I do support what they did. First of all, it would have removed something like a third of the positions that are deemed DEI. DEI is a very, very vague term, slippery term. I agree that DEI positions that are being abused at Harvard, at Stanford, that are really basically used to exclude Jewish students that are anti-Semitic, they have no place in those institutions, and they have no place in ours. I do not believe we have those kinds of positions or people. I believe that we have a population that I would call first-generation college, and it's not exclusively racial. It's not exclusively ethnic. There are many of the kids who are African-American background, descent, Latino, Native American, Indigenous, rural, northern Wisconsin, western, rural. So having people who are available to counsel them, think of all the tens of thousands of students there are, to counsel them, to advise them on what courses they might want to take. Remember something, for those of us who are blessed to be born in families that stressed education, and I consider myself right at the top of that list. I had the most wonderful parents a boy ever had. I really do. Did my mom and dad spent all their time with us. They counseled us on things. But suppose you are in a family that a single mom is running the family and she's working two jobs and she herself never went to high school. And you're a smart kid and you end up at the University of Wisconsin and any of the campuses. You have no idea what course to take. You have no idea. To go in to a DEI counselor that says, we're glad you're here. We welcome you. How are you doing? What kind of activities are you interested in? What subject in high school did you really like? Oh, I liked history or I like math. Oh, okay. Well, here are some suggestions. And, you know, based on your board scores, I mean, some kids will start with elementary courses. That's exactly fine. Absolutely fine. That's number one. Number two, they vetoed, so to speak, or they wouldn't agree to, the regents, was the creation of a professorship on conservative thought. That's something right in 1984. Let me tell you something. Among professors, I want the best professors, the best historians. I want the best professors of philosophy, of mathematics, of physics, of geology, of chemistry, of biology, of economics, of sociology. The best. The best. Now, if you are the best, conservative thought doesn't come in mathematics. It is what it is. It doesn't come in physics. Quantum mechanics isn't conservative or liberal. It does come in history. It does come in literature. It does come in philosophy. But the best professors teach the whole range of thought. They don't just teach conservative or liberal philosophers or conservative or liberal historians. They don't do that. They don't, in economics, there are conservative economists and liberal economists. You teach them all. Any economist worth his salt has studied them all. The professor can say, I find this more persuasive. You may not. Read original sources. One of the things I always loved to do in history courses and at college was there'd be an original document. You know, read the Magna Carta, actually read the Declaration of Independence. And you hear a professor lecturing on what it says. I read the things. And in some cases, I agreed with them. In a lot of cases, I didn't agree with them. I thought, yeah, you can say that, but here's my impression. The whole idea of an education is to open up horizons that you never knew existed. And this legislature cheapens everything it touches because it's gerrymandered and it's trying to appease and appeal to a fringe that they don't truly understand. And I think they actually miscalculate their constituency. But there should not be a professor of conservative thought, liberal thought, any of that. There should be a professor of thought, period. Do your own thinking. I'm not doing your thinking for you. If I'm your professor, you know what I say? You know, Andrew of Detroit chuckles and says, professor. Well, no, I'm not a professor, but you know that I have a point of view. That this is talk radio. Some of you have a different point of view on some things. All points of view are welcome. But I also give you facts. And you can take those facts and you can say, yeah, Matt, but. And that's what I love. But what the Regents did, and then there's the engineering building. A lot of it was going to be paid by private donations, for Pete's sake. They did it out of spite. Now, LeMahieu, by the way, is for the raises. He is the majority leader of the Senate. And what's happened is that Tony Evers has brought suit on the wages because they were passed already. And Voss is simply saying that he and his committee get to have to approve it. There's nothing in the Constitution that says when the legislature passes a bill, a funding bill for raises, for instance, and the governor signs it, that's the law. You don't have some guy off on the side, some guy who's afraid of Trump going, yeah, you know, maybe I'll stick it to him. That doesn't work. I think the raises will pass. The problem is they're not going to be current. They'll be retroactive. But I've talked to at least one chancellor who said, you know, this is really hurting the university because there are a lot of people saying, I like working for the university, but if I can get $25 an hour at Amazon or something, and they won't even give me a raise, I'm not sticking around. They badly hurt the university. The Republican Party has badly hurt the university. I understand why the Regents did it, because at what point do you stop? And it's sort of like having Mike Johnson suddenly sitting there in your classroom saying, yeah, I don't agree with that. Or Voss, yeah, I don't agree with that. Well, it's because you don't understand that. What did you guys study? I don't know what they studied, quite frankly. If they had studied a full liberal arts curriculum, by the way, the word liberal arts is a praiseworthy term. It's been used forever. Some people say that an 18th century liberal is a 20th century conservative, 21st century. They don't know what they're talking about. They flat out don't know what they're talking about. So where do we go from here? Evers' lawsuit will result in those raises. However, it'll be 4-3. However, it's going to be a while, and these people will get a retroactive, you know, chunk of money. But this is not right. This is not right. LeMahieu, I hope, it comes out more forcefully. And secondly, there shouldn't be a professorship on conservative thought. And thirdly, these DEI positions in Wisconsin, this isn't the way they're doing it in the Ivy League, which is terrible. This is to help people who are first-generation collegians. That's what it is. Okay, coming up, this is great, coming up. Trump's experts get $2 million. One of them gets almost $1 million, and you won't believe what it was for.
The Tap.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is amazing. This is amazing. Here's what Trump has done. By the way, he's not testifying today. And, you know, the cheap shot, you can say, oh, he chickened out. The truth of the matter is, he's a disaster. He's a walking crime wave. He is crime on the hoof. And if he gets on that stand, he's already testified once. He gets on that stand. And what is he going to say? Your experts said that the valuations were untrue. Are you going to contradict them? One of them then said you didn't have fraudulent intent, which is not his area of expertise, and that is a legal question for the judge, not for an expert. And you're going to spout off. You're going to mouth off. And so he decided not to testify. But here are the facts. And we don't need a professor of conservative thought. I'm going to give you the facts, and you decide what you want. That's the purpose of a liberal education. You're going to get it right now. Trump expert was paid about $900,000 for reviewing a few financial statements, doing a deposition, and testifying at trial. When I was trying cases, even the most expensive expert in the most complicated case, it would be somewhere at $50,000, $75,000, almost $1 million. Who paid it? It was split between the Trump Organization and Trump's Save America PAC. In other words, political donations to help him run for president. I've got news for you. That should be income to Trump. If he's dipping into his political donations for a personal reason, because he doesn't want to lose his wealth, he should pay income tax as having received that money. His PAC spent more than $20 million on Trump's legal fees in the first 6 months of 2023, more than $20 million. That's two-thirds of the PAC's total spending in those 6 months. Hey, paying Trump's legal fees, especially in a case that's trying to seize $250 million of his personal assets, that is a personal expenditure. That money should be reported as income. In fact, it must be reported as income. We'll see if he does. It's happening right now. The return will be filed in April. He'll put in for an extension. It'll be October. You know what he's trying to do. One of his experts, the big kahuna, was from NYU, a respected institution. Guess how much he charges an hour? $1,350. $1,350 per hour. And the way these guys operate, if the guy's shaving in the morning, he's thinking about the case, that's an hour. Or that's half an hour, and then brushing his teeth is the other half hour. As he thinks about it, he goes to bed. Here's what he said. He said, and he's got to live by this, he spent 650 hours on the case. Over 3 months, 50-hour work weeks only on this case. A 50-hour work week is 7 hours at 7 hours a day. That's 49 hours, so a little over 7 hours a day. Every day for over 3 months. Do you really think he did that? Couple of financial statements, Do you really think he did that? I don't think he did that. At the end of it, he testified that, yes, there was untrue information on the financial statements. That's the ballgame. There's already been summary judgment entered against Trump on liability. This is on damages. How much? Letitia James wants $250 million. And his own expert, who said, I spent 7 hours a day every day for 3 months. How many times did you read that financial statement, Jack? Letitia James says that's the ballgame, and she's right, because he said the information is false. But then he said, like what? He's a psychiatrist. He goes, well, Trump didn't have a fraudulent intent. You must understand something. Intent cannot be testified to by any witness other than the person who claims he had the intent. You cannot put on an expert witness in a case to say that somebody else is lying or telling the truth. That is an invalid witness. It's invalid for this guy, no matter how much he was paid, to say that, well, I'm sure that Trump didn't mean anything bad about it, basically is what he said. And he did it because he wanted $1 million. He had two high-priced expert witnesses, another one. More than $2 million was paid on these witnesses, and they all admitted that the valuations were inflated on Trump's properties, that they were not proper or reasonable. I mean, for Pete's sake, they weren't proper or reasonable. For Pete's sake, Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Actually, I'm going to take a little bit of a turn from what you're talking about. I really think that when it comes to Trump, he's on such a walk, so far out on that plank, he can't walk it back anymore. I do really believe that. But here's what I am calling about. Robin Voss and what he's trying to do to our educational system here in Wisconsin. I think enough is enough. And everybody says, oh, what can you do? What can you do? You can do a lot. Our state has something. Any state in the nation has something called a referendum. We can ask that he be removed from office for inadequate support of the taxpayers. We've got all the evidence in the world to produce it. If we had enough signatures, and we could get them, we can maybe get them through Civic Media Radio. He's gone. He's toast. If the taxpayer is just one person, I would do it if enough people send him a letter, say, look, you've got two choices. Either you start working with the citizens of Wisconsin or resign and avoid embarrassment. Because he has just done this deal with the University of Wisconsin, the Regents. I just can't believe that people roll over and play dead when he does that stuff. What do you think, Matt? You're the legal authority. I need your opinion.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're absolutely right in the gist of what you say. He's cost us an engineering school, raises for 35,000 people, including janitors. And he's doing this just because, what, he wants to show off to Trump or whoever. Secondly, how to get recall? You can recall somebody, but the question of recalling him in that district is a gerrymandered right-wing district. A statewide recall, I don't think it would be a referendum, but I think that the recall process, realistically, I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, would be very, very difficult here. But everybody should listen to what Bill just said and what I'm saying here. This guy is putting a knife in the University of Wisconsin. Coming up, a lot more news and weather, and the president of the university.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.